always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Almighty, infinite Father, faithfully loving your own, here in our weakness we find us, falling before your throne. Oh, we're falling before your throne. You are the one that we pray. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore.
Our call to worship is a responsive reading found in the book of Psalm, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside quiet waters. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I fear no evil, for you are with me.
Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us pray. O God, powerful and compassionate, you shepherd your people faithfully, feeding and protecting us. Heal each of us and make us whole people, that we may embody the justice and peace of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, whom with you and the Holy Spirit we praise. Amen. I'll ask the praise singers to come forward as we turn to the hymn titled, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. It's hymn number 456 in the green hymnal, or as seen on the screens.
Thank you, praise team. Both of you. That's okay, they got it done. Well, we've heard of our Good Shepherd this morning. We've sung of him. And at this moment, our Good Shepherd invites us into the green pastures of his love and his forgiveness. We've had some technical difficulties with a particular PowerPoint I wanted to use today, but if it doesn't come up, you're invited to go to page 56 in the green hymnal, and we will hear of his grace and forgiveness. Okay, there it is. All right. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. God's word is very clear on this, from 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And let's put our hope and trust in God's promise right now. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. My great joy and privilege to announce to all of us today that in the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you. And for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Join me in the confession of our Christian faith, the ancient summary of what Scripture teaches about the God we worship, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, Spirit, and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And God's peace be to each and every one of you.
This morning is from Jeremiah chapter 23, the righteous branch. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people. You have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord. Then I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will set shepherds over them who will care for them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed. Neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. The second reading is from Ephesians chapter 2. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at one time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of the commandments expressed in the ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man, and in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. God of abundant mercy, always more ready to hear than we are to pray, always willing to give more than we desire, and giving us those gifts which we are not worthy to ask, by your Holy Spirit, draw our church members together in worship to praise your most worthy name and support one another, Lord, in your mercy. O faithful God, giver and sustainer of life, in this time of need, we thank you for the gentle rain for our crops and ask for more, that we may receive the fruits of the earth for our benefit and for your praise. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those in affliction. Almighty God, hear the prayers of those who turn to you in their time of trial. Be their refuge and strength, and to the glory of your name, their very present help in trouble. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the persecuted church. We ask your mercy, O Lord, for those who are falsely accused, wrongly imprisoned, and martyred for your name. May they gain release, be restored to life, and inspire us by their sacrifice. Lord, in your mercy.
Thank you, John. I dearly love the flow of those two scriptures, reminding us that we human shepherds often fail and fall short of what God calls us to do, but then firmly telling us of the one true shepherd and what he does. He unites us by his grace, by his life, death, and resurrection for us. So as we prepare to hear a little bit more about this good shepherd, would invite the congregation to take up their hymnals to hymn number 406. Invite the praise team to come forward too as we prepare to hear more of God's word this morning. Let's sing together, "Take My Life That I May Be," verses 1 through 6.
It shall be no longer. and I will be ever only all for thee.
Thank you, praise singers. Well, it's that time in the service where I'm going to invite any kids that want to meet me over at the table, and this message is for you. All right, here they come. Well, good to see you guys. All right, well, what do I have here?
A headlamp,
yes, and I can put this on, and it'll put the light right here, and I can have both hands to work on something in the dark if I need both hands, and oftentimes I do. I can wear it when I'm riding my bike at night and see where I'm going. So shall we turn it on, see how it works? You got the button right here. Maybe I should just throw it away if it doesn't work, huh? Instead of throwing it away? Well, you suggested batteries, and what do you know? There's no battery. Let's see. I might have some batteries here. There we go. So we'll put batteries in it and then see how it works. So we had a problem. I suggested a solution, didn't I, that we throw it away, but what would that have accomplished? Would that have given us light?
No.
Nope. All right. Let's see if we can get this positives, where all the positives go. All right. All right, now get this put back together. There we have light. Sorry, I didn't mean to hit you in the face with that. So that's a bright light, isn't it? So that really, and then it's got different settings. I can go a little, and then this one if I want to. I don't know what that's for, but it's annoying. That's what it's for. So, well, you know, sometimes in life, we have solutions that really aren't solutions. And we often try and try to fix things. And then at the very end, we kind of go to the Lord and ask Him. And He has different ways of fixing our problems, doesn't He? Sometimes it's a fix that we haven't thought about or we couldn't even imagined. And that's kind of what faith is that we just trust God. And right now we're trusting God. I know your dad farms, your mom and dad, they have a farm, and we're all a little nervous about the rain right now, and we're wondering where it's all going to end. But we just have to have faith, don't we, that God may have something in mind that we haven't even thought of yet. So remember that God waits at the end of all of our solutions with His grace and His goodness. And that's really what the cross is all about. We didn't really have a fix for our sins, did we? We couldn't fix them. We didn't have a fix for the fact that we needed forgiveness and eternal life. But God did. And He did it in a way that just kind of blew our mind by sending His own Son into our world to suffer and die in our place. And so because of this cross, we're going to choose to trust God right now during this time of dryness and heat. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You today that when we look at the cross, even in spite of the circumstances we experience right now, we know that You love us. So many times we come up with solutions that aren't really solutions to our problems, but You know what's good and right and true. And so give us faith to trust You during this difficult time. Lord, in Your mercy, hear our prayer. All right, thank you guys for coming up, and let's give them a hand, and Daisha's got fruit snacks for you. Well, the title of today's message is A Passion for Compassion, and so let's pray as we come before the Lord at this moment. Lord, we thank You for Your word. Your word is truth. Your word is spirit. And today, we pray that You would meet us in this word and give to us that which we need for faith and life. Lord, in Your mercy, hear our prayer. Passion. A standard dictionary definition of passion would go something like this: a powerful emotion or an appetite, an ardent adoring, a boundless enthusiasm. These words describe Shane McConkie. Born in 1969, Shane was raised on the ski slopes of the Rocky Mountains. He was a legend in extreme skiing, and it was his passion for skiing that led him to say, "Nothing better than sliding on snow and flying through the air." That was Shane's passion. I know about this guy because I have a son who's a very passionate skier. Shane's passion for the extreme attracted the energy drink company Red Bull, who sponsored many of his extreme ski jumps that were then turned into commercials for their drink. So a story of passion really seems to exemplify Shane McConkie. Shane's passion for the extreme led him into base jumping, you know, where you jump off tall buildings or cliffs with a parachute. Now, few understood Shane's passion, but he was at home on the edge. Friends, those who knew him well, said he adored being on the edge, and he had such an appetite for it that the danger of it all just faded into the background. It just was who he was. He combined both sports, base jumping and skiing, by skiing off vertical drops, doing his signature double black backflip, and then opening his chute. He did many of these jumps. Shane, however, died in 2009 doing what he loved, filming a skiing base jump in the Alps, and that's not either one of these pictures. Both of these pictures come from Norway, and we know that there's some huge cliffs and vertical drops in Norway. So today, on this eighth Sunday after Pentecost, our gospel text gives us another story of passion. We might say the story of passion, and that's about Jesus Christ. Now, few understood Jesus' passion. Though he had resided in glory far above the heavens, Psalm 113 tells us that he had to stoop to behold what was in heaven. He jumped off of that into a human body and then experienced our broken world. He did this because of his passion for us. He gave himself to us as a shepherd, rescuing wandering and helpless sheep. And then he died for those he was passionate about, those he loved. And we are changed by his passion for us. When we experience his love and his grace, it has an effect on us. Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 34, the compassion of Jesus. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. The word of the Lord. So if you can imagine Otter Tail Lake in Otter Tail County, many of you know this lake, it's roughly the same size as the Sea of Galilee. And so when they got in the boat and sailed to the other side, to a lonely place to rest and recharge, the crowds just ran around the lake and actually beat them there. Now, they were tired, not even having a chance to eat. So many people with so many needs. Now, you would have thought that a natural human response to this getting off the boat finally, and there's the crowd again waiting for you, that you would have hung your head and thought to yourself, well, the cliche is true, no good deed will go unpunished. Here we are again. But we're told in verse 34 that he had compassion on them. Instead of hanging his head and thinking, oh, more people, more needs, I just don't have any energy left, we're told he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And if we take a look at the Greek word in Mark's text, the Greek word for compassion, splanknizomai, it's an interesting word. It means to be moved inwardly with compassion or sympathy. It's a genuine word. There's nothing fake about it. This comes from inside of Jesus, that he has compassion and sympathy, because here's all these people, and they're like sheep without a shepherd. Now, just a quick survey of this word, splanknizomai, in the New Testament. It's used 12 times. It's used in the Gospels, and all pertaining to Jesus. So this is kind of something that Jesus specializes in. It marks him. The context is striking also. Although weary from constant ministry and needing rest, Jesus still saw the crowds with compassion. And this passion is simply who he is. He has a passion for compassion. Now, our experiences of suffering can often lead us to question if God really cares about us. We're kind of wondering about that right now in this time of dryness as we're watching some of our crops dry and die. But the truth about Jesus is that he tells us that he surely has a passion for us. He knows, he cares, he acts. The cross is testament to that. And this text provides us a window to see a number of characteristics about this compassion, this splanknizomai that Jesus especially specializes in. The first one is his compassion is one way. Unlike our need for reciprocation, we get focused on receiving back sometimes when we give of ourselves, and we naturally would like to have some of that reciprocated back on us, and we get frustrated with people who are, as we might say, all take and no give, right? But that's not the way it is with Jesus. His compassion is unconditional. They had given everything they had to the crowds and then decided they needed a break. And when the crowd showed up again, his compassion was still there. It didn't fade. And this kind of unconditional compassion that our Lord has for us, this can be contrasted with the other characters seen in this narrative. Let's take the disciples first of all. They were concerned about their reporting and resting. They had been sent out, they had come back, they were tired, and they were very excited to go to a place and rest and be alone with Jesus and report to him everything God had done in their lives. Now, later on in this narrative, if you were to keep reading, Jesus wants to feed the crowd because they were tired and they were hungry too. And when he posed that question to his disciples, the solution they came up with was very much like me wanting to throw the light away. They said, well, let's just send them away. Send them away. Let them go to the villages and get something to eat. And Jesus said, that's not what I'm asking you to do, guys. How are we going to feed them? And then, of course, he fed them with a few loaves and a few fishes. It wasn't something that the disciples had even imagined. So let's take a look at the crowds. They were really unaware of their spiritual needs. They just wanted what Jesus was dispensing in at that moment to create an opportunity to teach. And that was he was healing their sick, and then he was feeding them. John tells us in his account of the feeding of the 5,000 that they wanted to come and take him to be their king. I mean, he'd be a great king, right? He heals us and he gives us food to eat. Who doesn't want a king like that? But that's not what they really needed. So regardless of our constant needs and our questionable motives, Jesus still looks at us as his own and gives himself to us. And he might give us what we haven't imagined or even thought we needed, as he does a little later on in the narrative where he takes this opportunity to teach them. So our take on this leads us to our second thing about Jesus' compassion, and that's his compassion gives. Now, we know from his ministry that he fed large crowds, and if you kept reading in Mark chapter 6, he will feed the 5,000. He healed many who were sick, diseased, and crippled. He touched lepers. He spent time with those on the margin of society and was criticized for it. But he promised this. He says this in Matthew 6. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? And this is pure gospel, this last statement. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. God knows what we need. The cross, again, is proof of that. At the end of our rope, he's at the end of all of our failed efforts. He will be at the end of this dryness that we're experiencing. He will be there, waiting with his passionate compassion for us, willing to hear our difficult prayers, even those that consist only of our tears. He is there, as he always is. Again, hang on to that cross. He's always there. The third and final work and mark of Jesus' compassion is that his compassion is life. Though he has compassion for our physical needs, his primary passion was to bring us eternal life. That is why he had compassion on the crowd and began to teach them. That's what he came to do. Yes, following that teaching, he's going to feed them. But his first and foremost priority was to teach them. And when we look at that cross, we know that that is his greatest compassion on us. It helps us digest everything we face in this life, because he jumped into our broken world and experienced all of its pain and its misery, its hardships, its struggles. He knows, he cares, and he understands. You see, the cross answers our questions about God's compassion. God, in a marvelous way, answers all of our whys with the who of his Son. As he points us to his Son and his cross and says, you can trust me. I've got your best interests in mind. At the cross, God declares, I am passionate about you. I forgive you all of your sins. I give you eternal life. You are mine, and I am your friend. Praise be to God. To be valued and loved so thoroughly and so unconditionally changes us. And let's pray to that end right now. Walk with us, O God. Our journey is not always easy, and we need the action of your compassion. Open our eyes to your good and eternal plan of life for us. We confess that we often see only ourselves in the here and now and long for things you did not die for. Set us free by your compassion to embrace your plan and calling for our lives. O God, you tell us that we can love others because you have first loved us. Yet our love for others is often hidden behind ourselves. Be with those whose hearts are broken by life's blows. May we, as fellow travelers through this fallen world, reach out to them with your love as people who care. Give us a passion for your compassion. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
This morning I'm going to be sharing a song on the piano, but if you'd like to follow along, the words to the song, Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us, you can find them in the green hymnal on page 481.
Thank you, Amy. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. Amen to that. Let's take this opportunity to go to our good shepherd right now and pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that today you have spoken to us clearly of you being our good shepherd. And we thank you for your care And we ask your blessing upon those who are celebrating birthdays this week. We pray your blessing upon Judy Suter, Gaylene Bader, Wyatt Milbeck, Shelley Frazanke, Art Wisbrood, Shirley Jensen, Wyatt Hybe, and Brett Weiss. Lord, watch over these, your sheep, and give them your tender care. Lord, we pray for anyone today who is listening or in the sanctuary here, who's feeling alone and isolated. Lord, you are their good shepherd. Put your mighty arm around them and remind them of your love and your undying passion for them. Lord, grant them faith to see that they are not alone. And Lord, in this moment of silence, we lift up our individual needs and wants to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray together the prayer that our Lord himself has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
As our time this morning together comes to a close, I'd like to invite you to stand and join in singing our closing song, continuing on the theme of God's vast and immeasurable love for us, how deep the Father's love for us. And you can see those words up on the screen. Oh, I goofed. Okay, wrong song. Guess what? You can still find the words on the screen. We're going to sing together, My Savior's Love. Can relate, right?
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. How marvelous, how wonderful, and
me. When with the ransomed in glory, his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me.
God's peace be to each and every one of you. Receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace and serve our gracious God. Thanks be to God. Thank you.